Chapter 66, Product Strategy. Now that the company objectives are clear and the product vision and principles are in place, the leaders of the product organization, in this case, the CPO, the CTO, and their managers, need to update their product strategy to deliver on the company objectives. Note that there is no guarantee that they will be able to come up with a way to do everything the board is hoping for in the year. If the product leaders determine this is just not plausible, then the leaders will need to raise this back up to the CEO to either consider increasing funding or reducing some of the expectations, or possibly a blend of the two. But before that can be known, they will need to work closely with the product teams to determine what they believe they can do. It's also important to note that, while the company objectives are annual, the product team objectives are quarterly. So the product leaders and product teams have the ability to adjust course based on progress, obstacles encountered, new learnings and new insights, and new opportunities uncovered. As a reminder of the big picture regarding product strategy, recall that a product strategy begins with focus on a small number of truly important objectives. Then we will search for insights that can be leveraged to make a real impact on these company objectives. Next, we will map the insights into action, which means identifying a set of one or more objectives for each product team to work on. Finally, the managers will need to actively track progress on the objectives and be prepared to remove obstacles and make adjustments in support of the product teams. Focus. The leaders of the company have identified two company objectives for the year. One is around continuing to grow the core business, and the other is around exploring a new expansion product. In this situation, the senior leaders of the company have helped considerably with focus by narrowing down the company objectives to just two key objectives. If the leaders had a much larger list, then the product strategy likely would have needed to begin with narrowing that list down. In every company, there are many opportunities that could be pursued. In this case, they were seriously debating geographic expansion, as well as offering additional services to employers, for example, verification services and drug testing services, but none of these made the cut for this year. Note that the context also included guidance that pursuing the new business opportunity should not come at the expense of the work on the core business. Insights. Growing core business objective. The first company objective pertains to growing the core business. The business result the company hopes for is 25% growth. And of course, there are any number of strategies for achieving this growth. But the leaders realize it's unlikely that just optimizing the current product will yield more than 5 to 10% growth. There is organic growth still occurring in the space, but there are also several new competitors now, so they do not want to count on organic growth. They believe they must do a better job than ever in taking care of their current customers, both employers and seekers. And in addition, they must go out and win new customers. A key part of the product strategy work involves a review and discussion of the key marketplace health KPIs and user research learnings. In particular, they know that employers want to fill jobs quickly, but they want to make sure they are providing their hiring managers with a choice of qualified candidates. Employers are obviously disappointed when they receive no applications, and they are frustrated and slow to decide when they have only a very small number of applications. That much was well known. However, what was not well known, and was a consequence of doing some user research motivated by an observation from the data, is that if there are too many applications for a given job, it creates its own set of problems. This is because it takes too long for employers to sift through and make a hiring decision. Further, on the jobs where too many people apply, this also leaves a disproportionate number of disappointed job seekers. Their analysis of the data shows that positions are filled the fastest and hiring managers are happiest when they receive a minimum of 8, but no more than 25 qualified applications. Based on these numbers, they know that 28% of employer job postings receive too few applications, and 7% receive too many. While this doesn't sound so bad, it's worse than it looks because the most appealing jobs are getting way too many applicants and disappointing far too many job seekers. Once a job posting has enough qualified applicants, maybe the algorithms could direct those candidates to more promising jobs. They believe this correlates directly with employer churn, especially for those receiving too few applications. They also believe this correlates directly with seeker satisfaction, especially for the many people who apply for a job they're excited about but never hear back. So, as a strategic focus for the next quarter or two, depending on progress, they want employer teams to figure out ways of helping a higher percentage of jobs to get at least 8 qualified applications, and they also want to reduce the number of jobs that get more than 25 applications. They believe that this will reduce employer churn, generating more job postings per employer, while also generating more successful responses for job seekers. From the job seeker perspective, they know job seekers need to find a job. The clock is ticking. They are looking for a good fit, and they would like to have a choice of jobs, but it is primarily about quickly finding a match. They know from the data that if a job seeker does not submit at least one application in her first 48 hours using the marketplace, then she is very unlikely to return. They also know that only 27% of seekers who register actually submit at least one application. They also know from the data that there is a substantial difference in seeker success for those job seekers that download the native mobile app to help them in their job search, 32%, versus those that don't, 15%. While the first insight was not a surprise, you only have a 48-hour window to get a seeker engaged, the second insight was a surprise. Registering is such a large percentage of the work involved in submitting an application, and they struggle to understand why so many people would successfully complete the registration process, yet not apply for at least one job. So, as the second strategic focus for the next quarter, they want seeker teams to figure out ways of helping more job seekers find a match and submit at least one application in that first 48-hour window, especially for the people who have registered. Enterprise employer objective. The second company objective is fairly straightforward. Not easy, but clear. They will have a new product team, and that team will have a clear assignment based on the company objective. They know that many of the assumptions around the core business may not hold true for this new product, as selling to enterprises is substantially different from selling directly to hiring managers. Therefore, they want to approach this objective by starting with identifying product market fit. Further, they don't want the team distracted with anything else as they pursue product market fit. It is all too easy for a team to get ahead of themselves with a new product. While the work for the new team is straightforward, they are expecting that some of the work the new team needs to do will impact several of the other teams. Demonstrating product market fit in the enterprise will likely be an initiative that spans most of the year and will require changes in support from several other teams, probably most, if not all, of the employer organization teams, and at least the job seeker organization job application team, and most, if not all, of the platform organization teams. Therefore, they will need to ensure that those teams have support for this work as an objective. Replatforming objective. While the two company objectives will drive much of the product work, there is another objective that comes not from the company executives or board, but rather from the product leaders. The organization had been struggling with some very substantial technical debt due to the rapid growth of the business during the preceding several years. The previous year, the engineering organization proposed a 2-year plan to move the organization to a more modern AWS-based, microservices-based implementation. The plan enumerated 20 major system components and proposed to tackle several of these components each quarter in a specific, intentional order over what they estimated would take roughly 2 years. Note that the engineering team believed they could accomplish this replatforming work in a shorter time frame if they were willing to pause or suspend other work. However, this would have caused major disruption in the ability to add ongoing capabilities for the business. This was therefore considered too risky to the business, so they instead decided on an incremental plan to strategically rebuild the infrastructure over a 2-year period. This quarter represents the third quarter of work on this plan. Much of this work, but by no means all, was expected to fall on the platform product teams. Action. The leaders are now ready to turn these insights into action, which means to get teams working on solving the problems they need to solve. They know they could simply assign problems to each product team, but they also know that this would miss some important information. While they understand the problems and the insights, what they know they can't know is the enabling technology available to each team and their own ideas and enthusiasm about the various problems. Therefore, their next step is to open up this quarterly team objectives discussion to the broader product organization. The leaders want to get the product teams thinking about how best to tackle these topics. So, the product leaders asked for the members of the product teams to meet with them to discuss the product strategy. In this company, they encouraged all members of the product teams to attend the strategy briefing. In some companies, they only push for the product manager, product designer, and tech leads, while in other companies, it is just the product managers. This is partly cultural and partly a function of the size of the organization and whether they are all in the same office. The reason this company pushed for most, if not all, engineers to attend is that they were big believers in the role engineers play in innovation. During this session, the head of product starts by updating everyone on the company objectives, then moving on to the product strategy work and sharing the relevant data and especially the insights. The leaders explain that in the coming days, they will approach each product team with one or two important problems to solve in support of these three objectives. But in the meantime, they'd like the teams to consider the problems and the ideas and technology they believe can help. Just to be clear, we don't expect every team to contribute to every objective, as different objectives are more relevant to different teams. However, we do want each team to consider what they might be able to do to help with the specific team objectives and the more general company objectives, and to make it known when they identify promising opportunities. They explained to the teams that if everyone wanted to work on the same thing, this would of course not work because they have to do their best to cover all three objectives. However, they also explained that if a product team is especially optimistic about a problem they believe they can help on, they are motivated to try to accommodate those desires wherever possible. Note that this process is necessarily a combination of top-down and bottom-up. The teams have all been provided the company objectives and product strategy top-down, and they are all asked to consider what they may be able to do to contribute bottom-up. This begins a back and forth with the leadership to ensure that as much of the company objectives can be completed as possible. However, the key results always come from the bottom up. Management. In the next chapter, we'll share where the team objectives actually ended up for each of the product teams. However, it would be misleading to share these results without describing the many obstacles and challenges that had to be dealt with to get to where they landed. Therefore, here are the major obstacles that emerged, along with how those obstacles were dealt with. Too much work landed on one particular team. In this case, the employer home team. The two solutions the leaders came up with were either to pass some of the work to other teams or add one or more engineers to this team. They ended up doing some of both. The most common obstacle was when one team identified a dependency on another team and needed to know whether or not they could count on getting what they need during the quarter. This happened both while planning for the quarter and in multiple cases during the quarter, when the teams were deeper into the work. The dependency was mostly on a platform team, but sometimes, for example, a change to an employer team required a change from a job seeker team. In each case, it required the managers to talk directly to the parties involved to see if and when the dependency could be accommodated. In most cases, a little horse trading was able to satisfy both parties. However, there were some cases where the platform team could not commit to providing what was needed early enough for the experienced team to use in time to finish in the quarter. In this case, the experienced team was not able to deliver their solutions until the following quarter. The employer home team identified that they needed some significant SEO help from product marketing to be able to deliver on their objectives. The managers ended up embedding an SEO person into this team for the quarter. They believed from their data analysis of the new seeker funnel that if they could do a better job on SEO, they could attract more qualified job seekers and, as a result, improve the success rate. The infrastructure team had shared the technical debt replatforming plan, as they had the prior quarters, but one of the teams, Enterprise Tools, realized that the timing was not going to be good for a critical area they needed to work on. The infrastructure team ended up changing the specific modules planned for the quarter to avoid wasted work. The shared services team ended up with a very long list of work that they needed to do in order to support the various experienced teams, and they needed help prioritizing all the different requests coming in from all the different teams. This was addressed in part by providing guidance on priorities. However, in certain cases, it worked best to allow the experienced team to write the necessary software and then contribute that code to the platform, pending approval by the shared services team.